Hi all, welcome to the Growing Intuitive Eaters podcast. Today we're continuing the series where I'm sharing my Growing Intuitive Eaters 101 course on the podcast for free. This course is for parents, grandparents, caregivers, and teachers who want to help the kids in their lives have a healthy relationship with food and stop obsessing over sweets. The topic of today's episode is navigating family comments, and this episode is structured a little differently from the past few because I wanted to focus on answering viewer questions about navigating family comments. So it's more of a Q&A style. Reminder that this course is originally developed for YouTube, so you may hear me reference videos during the episode. One last reminder, don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel for more free courses and helpful content. So here we go with today's episode. Welcome to Growing Intuitive Eaters. My name is Dr. Taylor Arnold. I'm a pediatric registered dietitian, nutrition PhD, and mom to two. And I'm on a mission to share free and accurate content with parents so you can help your kids eat more veggies, not obsess over sweets, and have a healthy relationship with food, even if this is a work in progress for you. On this podcast, we'll chat practical tips for feeding kids, parenting, and the science behind it all. All right, this is a much anticipated video where we're gonna be talking about how to navigate family dynamics, especially like extended family dynamics, family comments, family pressure. I'm gonna give you some examples of how I phrase things or would recommend phrasing things. So I originally thought about like writing some outline to chat about at the beginning of this video. And then I submitted a story box on my Instagram stories to ask you guys to submit questions. And you submitted so many good questions that really covers all the topics I would want to touch on. So I decided to format this entire video as a Q&A. So I'm going to timestamp this video in the caption below so you can search for like the specific questions that you have or relate to you or relevant to you, and then just kind of click there because it might be a little bit longer of a video because there were so many good questions. So let's get started. Okay, so the main questions I get here are like, how do I address with family who try to force another bite or use dessert as a reward, or who are lifelong dieters and talk about dieting with my kids? How do I handle when rules are different at another family's house, like they serve dessert after the meal instead of with the meal? So we're gonna go over some like phrases to use to like correct or redirect family, and things that I might use when I'm chatting with family about this, or like I notice a scenario. So make sure you watch my holiday food video, because in there I talk about like how I would prep my child for like a big family event or a family holiday meal. I always talk to her ahead of time. My son is 18 months old, so we're not like quite there yet with the language development for him, but you could certainly do this with your kiddo. But for my 3.5-year-old, I always say like sometimes rules are different at another family's house around food and in the kitchen, and that's okay. So I do have boundaries there though. Like if a rule in someone else's house was to like force my child to finish their veggies before they get dessert, in those situations I would interfere. But if it was like a rule in someone's house where they usually serve dessert after the meal, that's not something that I would consider like an interference level rule for me. I also prep my daughter ahead of time, and I might use some recovery phrases after, like, you never have to eat anything you don't want to, or you're a good kid when you eat your veggies and you're a good kid when you don't eat your veggies, or like all bodies are beautiful. These are some things that I might say to her after the fact as well. But there are some scenarios in the moment where I would actively intervene because I believe certain comments or certain behaviors are so damaging that they warrant saying something right in the moment and taking action immediately. So we'll kind of like go through these because you guys pretty much asked all the main ones. So first question, tips for pushy loved ones who always tell kids to try or eat food at the table and how to deal with it when other people do it to me. Okay, so this is a great question. Pretty much all the things I talk about in this video are applicable to you too, but like I'm a pediatric dietitian, so I'm talking about it from a child perspective, but really this applies to adults too. You just might need to change the wording like a tiny bit. So if someone were to push my child to eat something or try something in that situation, I would intervene. I want my daughter to always have full autonomy over her body and over the things that she eats. And in that situation, someone is trying to take that autonomy away from her. So like, let's say it's a grandparent or an aunt or uncle who says, oh, just try it, it's good for you, or you need to eat your asparagus before I bring you some pie. In that situation, I'd be like, actually, it's totally okay if you don't want to eat those vegetables. You don't have to eat anything you don't want to. I would say that to my daughter. And then I would turn to the person and say, in our house, we never make, so daughter's name, we never make daughter eat anything she doesn't want to. And if we're serving dessert to everyone, I'm gonna serve dessert to her too, regardless of if she eats her veggies. So that's kind of how I would approach that here. Now, if someone said, oh, Taylor, you need to try this. You just have to try the shrimp, it's so good. Or like, grandma worked really hard on this and you really need to try it so you don't hurt her feelings. If someone was saying that to me, I would just politely say, no thanks, and move on. If they continue to pressure in that situation, I might be more firm and say, I have a boundary where I don't eat anything that I don't want to eat. And right now I'm not wanting to eat that. So please stop asking me to eat that. If they continue to pressure my child, I would say my child can choose to eat what she would like. Please stop pressuring her to eat that. So start gentle and then firm up a bit if the pressure continues. So how to deal with a grandma who says, eat all your veggies so you can get dessert. In this situation, I would say, hey grandma, if we're serving dessert, I'm going to allow my child's name. I need to think of a cute name here. Let's go with like Susie, okay? That's not my daughter's name. I don't share her name on social media, but we're just gonna go with Susie because it's the first thing that pops into my mind. So I would say, hey grandma, we never make Susie eat anything that she doesn't want to. So if we're serving dessert to everyone, she's gonna get dessert regardless of if she eats her vegetables. So be firm here. And then you might need to serve dessert to her. And then I would tell your daughter, Susie, again, hey Susie, you can eat whatever you'd like to from what we serve for dinner. If you don't wanna eat your veggies, you don't have to. They're there for you when you're ready to try them, if you're ready to try them. Regardless of if you eat them, you're gonna get dessert, okay? So I would just direct to grandma, direct to the child, what the boundary is. In these situations, I definitely recommend running interference and saying something because we want to maintain your child's autonomy over their eating choices. So next question. These are all grandparents, which is funny. I call this the grandparent effect. And it's very pervasive. Grandparents wanting to treat the child with foods and then making it a secret with the child. Okay, so this is twofold. So grandparents wanting to treat the child with food. So I would address this directly with the grandparents. Hey, we don't use food as a reward and we don't make foods a special treat. If you wanna give them sugary foods, that's fine with me, that's not fine with me, whatever your boundary is there. But please try not to make it super special and as a reward for behavior. That's how I would address it with the grandparents. Next, making it a secret with a child. This is like a huge red flag for me. I think it's really important, like outside of the nutrition world, this is just my mom perspective, of me never having secrets in an immediate family. So you never want to train your child in any situation to keep a secret from a parent, because I believe that makes them more at risk for predatory behaviors. You always want your child to have an open line of communication with you, and you want them to never feel like they need to help keep secrets from you. So that's kind of like my mom perspective. Now, my dietitian perspective is very similar. There is a very important trust between parent and child when it comes to the feeding relationship. And when someone asks a child to keep a secret what they're eating from a parent, it implies that we can't trust the parent with the information about what they're eating, and that can harm that trust. And so I would absolutely have a very firm discussion with the grandparents in this situation or whoever and tell them, grandma and grandpa, we absolutely do not keep secrets from parents in this family. Child Susie should never be asked to keep a secret from me or my partner ever. It's really important to me. That's going to help me keep her safe. And the way we talk about food and our relationship around food in the kitchen is very important to me. And she needs to know that she can always talk to me about anything that she eats or doesn't want to eat. And that trust is very important. And you asking her to keep a secret about what she eats breaks that trust. And I, in my view, does a lot of harm. So please do not do that. So I'd be very firm there. And if they continue to do this, this would be a situation where I would not allow the child to eat with the grandparent. This is a big red flag for me. This is probably one of the biggest ones in this question submitted. So definitely, definitely, definitely worth a conversation with grandparents here. grandparents ignoring wishes around food. So you have two options here. Addressing it with the grandparents, telling them that it's important for you and that it's incredibly disrespectful for them to ignore your parenting wishes. You are the parent. You have the ultimate say when it comes to your child. So that's option one, is addressing it with them. Option two would be always being present with the child when they're eating with the grandparent so that you can run interference. If the grandparent watches the child and then it still continues to ignore your wishes, that's a really tough situation and you are going to need to weigh your pros and cons here of what's more important to you, food wishes being respected or them watching your kids. Sometimes you don't have a choice, so you just need to continue the dialogue, make sure you're continually telling them all the time how you want things to be done with your kids related to food, in a respectful way, of course. And then know there's always like family counseling if it really comes to that too, so. Okay, this is a question that I like, in my family life have experienced, so I resonate with this. A grandparent talks about how fat she is, but she is thin. She clearly has body dysmorphia, which is where it's a body dysmorphia is a psychological condition where you perceive your body to be something that it's not, or you like have excessive worry about your body, excessive stress. Body dysmorphia can often coincide with things like anorexia or other eating disorders, but isn't always. So this question asker says, I don't want my kids to misunderstand fat or have a bad view of their bodies or have a bad view of the word fat. So what I would do here, this is such a delicate situation because this grandparent is clearly going through a lot of their own struggles. But as the parent, your primary responsibility is to protecting your child's body image and your child's relationship with food, not your grandparents' body image and relationship with food, because your child is a child and your grandparent is an adult and they're capable of thinking and functioning as an adult and your child is not, and they need your protection more than your grandparent does. So like you kind of have to pick and choose here what you're going to protect and where your priorities are, which is like incredibly hard because presumably you love this grandparent so much and you love your child so much, and this is just a tough situation to be in. So my recommendation here would be to talk to the grandparent and say, hey, I'd really appreciate it if you don't talk about being skinny or fat in front of my kid. We can't really expect like a one conversation to change your grandparents' body view of themselves. They likely need psychological help and the help of a therapist. So like while you may offer those resources to them, maybe that would feel awkward to you. So in that situation, I would just try to negate all of the body talk around your kid, because clearly this person is going to struggle having positive body talk around your kid. So if we just nip all the body talk in the bud, we can leave it at that. So please don't talk about body size. Please don't talk about being fat or thin, even for yourself, around my kid. I really want them to have a positive view of their body and I want them to feel confident. And I worry when you talk about you feeling fat, that it's going to damage that. I know you love them and I know you don't want that for them. So let's just nip all the body talk in the bud. That's how I would address it with them. You may need to have some repair talk with your kiddo afterwards, talking about how all bodies are beautiful, using some really awesome literature for like kids literature. And I have some of those links in my Amazon shop of my favorite kids body positivity books to help with that. But they are going to encounter this sort of mentality outside of your family, because this is part of diet culture. But obviously this is something that you can sort of control. So something I would definitely say here. Okay, next question. This is also a really tough one. You guys are submitting really hard questions. So grandma has disordered eating and she babysits sometimes. This is tough because modeling food for our kids is really important here. So what you can do, the best thing you can do, have a healthy relationship with, help your kids develop that healthy relationship with food at home. Model a healthy relationship with food as best as you can. Help give grandma guidelines for how she should feed your child and talk about food with your child. And offer grandma support if she needs it. But again, know that this can be a really long process for adults to work through. So the best thing that you can do for her is to be supportive. And the best thing that you can do for your child is to give her guidelines with how to feed your child, how to talk about food, how to talk about bodies with your child, and even suggestions for food to give your kiddo. Make sure you're addressing the way that the grandma talks about food and about bodies in front of your kids, because the language that we use around food and bodies is really important when it comes to helping your kid have a healthy relationship with food. So, next, convincing grandparents to buy in with this whole thing that I talk about when they themselves are diehard dieters. To this, I would say you don't really need to. Nobody needs to buy into your parenting tactics. You are the parent. It is your job to decide how to parent your child around food. They don't have to agree with you. They have to respect your parenting decisions. And so I wouldn't try to convince them. You can send them my content if they want to learn more. You can buy the books if they want to learn more. But ultimately, someone has to be willing and open to changing their thoughts and opinions and behaviors in order for them to do so. So you may need to just be agree to disagree as long about dieting in general or diet culture or whatever, as long as they respect and support your own parenting practices. So that means they're going to continue to be diehard dieters as long as it doesn't affect your kids. So ask them, please don't talk about losing weight or negative body talk or talking about calories in front of my kids. Let's just keep things positive and light when it comes to food and bodies. And then if they can agree with that, you don't really need a buy-in. So someone asked me, how do I tell my grandparents just to not focus on their eating? Well, I would just tell them that. Like, hey, I notice at dinner times you talk a lot about how much they're eating, that they're a good eater, that they're not a good eater. And I feel like this puts a lot of pressure on Joey or on Susie. Maybe do you think we could dial it back a little bit? I just keep it simple when it comes to that. Okay, so that's kind of our grandparent section. Now we are going to talk about like some other family members. So next question is, how do I handle when there are other kids in the family that have severe picky eating and not let it impact my kids? So your kids are gonna encounter people with eating disorders, people with severe picky eating, people with disordered relationship with food in their bodies throughout their life. I will say it again, I sound like a broken record. Do your best to help them establish that healthy relationship with food at home, to give them the skills with how to cope with this when they go out. If your sister brings her kiddo a whole separate meal at the table, and then your child is like, well, I want the PB&J, I don't want turkey for Thanksgiving dinner, for Christmas dinner, why can't I have that? In that situation, you just need to say, that's not on the menu for you right now. That's on the menu for your cousin. This is what you have available. You can eat this food as much as you want of that food, but this is what's on the menu for you. And just leave it at that. You never know, especially with severe picky eating, your nephew or your child's cousin may be struggling with a pediatric feeding disorder, even if it's undiagnosed. And so we don't really know all the deep down struggles that that child is going through. And I would just encourage your kiddo to have as much compassion as their little minds are capable of, and just kind of redirect them, set the boundaries for them, and allow them to explore the food that you have set for them within those boundaries. How do I prevent an older sibling's dislike of certain foods from affecting a younger sibling's eating? So I have two kids, and the best thing that I think I've done so far is to help my daughter be respectful when she doesn't like a food at the table. So I tell her, it's okay if you don't like a food. You don't have to like every food. I don't like every food. But instead of saying, yuck, we need to say something like, no, thank you, or that's not for me. We don't spit and make faces like when we eat a food. It's okay to like discreetly spit out a food in your napkin if you don't like it, but we don't be dramatic. We don't say, ugh, yuck. We say, oh, no, thank you, I don't want those. Or try it, spit it out a little bit, you know, and then say, that's not for me. And so I just repeat that over and over and over again with her, and she's getting it. It's clicking. I tell her, we don't yuck on someone else's yum. Somebody else might really like that. Or, hey, your brother hasn't had a chance to try that yet. Let's let him decide how he feels about it. And then, you know, we just keep repeating with consistency. It will finally be drilled into their little brains eventually, I promise. So how to do things differently for my kids without making my parents feel like they messed up my childhood? This is a really interesting question because I don't really feel like doing things differently would make your parents feel like that. Honestly, if your parents are insecure about the way you're parenting, that's not your problem, that's their problem. That's a them problem, it's not a you problem. What you need to do is the best you feel for your kid in terms of parenting around food. I mean, in parenting otherwise too, but I'm not like a general parenting expert. I'm a food parenting expert. So you need to make the best decisions in the kitchen and at the table for your kids as you are able to. And if that makes someone else feel uncomfortable, that's something that they need to figure out how to deal with on their own. You're not responsible for your parents' feelings about how you parent your kid around food. I'll say that again. You are not responsible for how your parents feel about the way you parent your kids around food. That's their responsibility. They're allowed to have feelings, but that's not your problem. So I know that's easier said than done though, because I'm totally a people pleaser and I would like feel weird if I made my parents feel uncomfortable, but that's just something that I'm personally working on. And so hopefully you can work on that too with me, because it's hard, but it's important. All right, so next question. Family makes remarks about weight, even though I've asked them to stop. How to address it with the child? Do I ignore it? This is a really good question, because from all of these things that we're talking about, we can address it with the parents, or we can address it with the family members when it happens, and we can also address it with our kids. Usually I recommend doing both, especially if it's like if it's an interference level behavior from a family. Sometimes we have non-interference level behaviors and we have interference level behaviors. So talking about weight constantly is an interference level behavior. We know that a hyper-focus on weight is detrimental to a child's relationship with food, to their own feelings about weight, to their own self-esteem, especially if someone pressures your child about their weight or talks to them about their weight. We have lots of research that this weight talk is not ideal in kids. So family keeps from making remarks about weight even though I've asked them to stop. I would continue to ask them to stop. Do not stop asking them to stop. As long as they make those comments about weight, how to address it with your child. We really need to immerse them in positive body talk. We need to give them like body positive literature, expose them to a variety of bodies through their media, through their toys, through the shows they're watching, and answer questions that they have. Talk about your body in ways that are not just focused on the way they look. Like, I love my legs, they let me run so fast, or I love my arms, they help me hug you. Why don't you say something positive about your body? Or like, why do you love your arms? Or let's take turns talking to ourselves in the mirror. Like, I love these marks on my tummy because they mean I carried you in my belly. That is so cool. So you're just gonna continue to model positive talk for you. Mix the weight talk at home. Talk to your kids about how all bodies are beautiful. Expose them to literature that talks about that, especially kids' books, and answer questions if they have it. Don't stop talking to your family about decreasing that weight talk. So We're gonna continue with the questions. I told you guys, you gave me a lot of them. I told you this was gonna be a longer video, but I wanna answer all of these. So how do I handle it when family eats different things and the toddler wants everything new someone else has? This is a really interesting question. So in my mind, I'm picturing like a family dinner where everybody's like eating something separate. Honestly, that's a really tough situation. You could either allow your child to have the things that other people are having, assuming it's safe, or you can say, hey, that's not on the menu for you. This is what's on the menu for you, and make sure you give them a couple choices within their menu. So you're still giving them like control. You're still giving them the ability to choose. But if like you have a smorgasbord buffet for Christmas dinner or whatever holiday you celebrate, and your child builds their plate and then it goes and sits at the little table that they're sitting at, and then they see like Uncle Dan, it got cranberry sauce, but they didn't get cranberry sauce. Now they want cranberry sauce. Allow them to go back for the cranberry sauce. It's a buffet. Like, people are going to be going back and getting more. You could also say, like, that's the food that you have on your plate. If you'd like to get more, let me know and I'll get it for you. So you really, it's up to you. You can limit it, what they have, by saying, here's what your menu is, and give them limited choices, or you can just let them have at it like the rest of the family is allowed. There really isn't a right answer there. I probably would go through the line with my child, the buffet line, or like fill up their plate, sit down, and then enjoy my meal. And if they're keep wanting more and more things, I would say, hey, mom needs to enjoy her meal too. I'm gonna eat my meal. When I'm done, I'll help you get more if you'd like, because it's not your job to be like constantly serving them. So we also can have a boundary there. Okay, how to break the use of saying this food is healthy by other family members. This is so tough. I mean, I even say this sometimes too. Healthy is like a loaded word, because what does health even mean? It's kind of been hijacked by diet culture, but like we do have some validity to the term healthy in certain situations, but like what can be healthy for our bodies, for one food, like another food can be healthy for our emotions and our feelings and our mind. So I don't really have a great answer for you here. You might just say like, hey, so-and-so doesn't really know what that means. Maybe we could try using more descriptive words. Like instead of saying, oh, this food is so healthy, say like, hey, this food helps me, like carrots help me see in the dark. That's a more descriptive way to talk about food and what they do for our bodies versus just like generally healthy. Now, if you're talking about like grandma or grandpa or whoever saying, oh, the turkey and the Brussels sprouts, that's healthy, and then we can have some unhealthy foods like the brownies. Here I would ask them to decrease that sort of talk by just saying like, hey, I really try to help my kids see all food as just food and not get them into this like dichotomous thinking of good versus bad. And when you talk about like the veggies are healthy and the brownies are unhealthy, it really is sending the message that the brownies are bad, and I really want to avoid that mentality with them. So if you could use a different word to talk about the brownies, or just not use labeling foods to talk about them, that would be so helpful for me. That's how I would address it. I'm very upfront though. I don't really mind confrontation too much, so I definitely am more comfortable with talking to family members about this. You can also address it after the fact with your kids by making sure you're using neutral food language in your home and telling them there's no such thing as good foods and there's no such thing as bad foods. We can enjoy all foods, and all foods can fit into the way that we eat. So kind of using some repairing terms after the fact. Okay, so this is another question we get. Hispanic family always asks kids for one last bite or to finish your plate. How to work around that? Here I would intervene and say, hey, we let Joey or we let Susie decide how much they're gonna eat, so please don't ask them that. My husband still pressures my two-year-old to try foods even though we've talked about it hundreds of times. Ooh, this is really tough. So here I would support your thinking with data. You can show them my videos. I would link some research here and there about pressure to eat. You can show them that. You can look on PubMed and find articles yourself and sit down with them and say, this is really important to me and here's the reason why. Here's the data to support what I'm talking about. But ultimately, this style of food parenting is one of many styles that you can choose to use when you parent your kids around food. And if your husband disagrees with this style, how to resolve a disagreement about fundamental parenting approaches isn't really something that's in my wheelhouse. That's something that's more in the wheelhouse of a therapist. I would encourage you to approach your husband with understanding. Hopefully the reason he's doing this is because he loves your kids and he wants the best for them, and he thinks the best for them would be to get them to eat their vegetables or to get them to try more foods. And he thinks the best way to do that is to force them to eat another bite. So you can give him data to show that helping our kids be adventurous eaters is the best way we can do that, is from a low pressure approach. But ultimately, maybe he has some internalized diet culture or internalized struggles with food that he's working around himself. So approach this person, your partner, your husband, with understanding, because he might be struggling with food more than he's letting on. Give them data to support your opinion. And if you're still struggling with fundamental parenting disagreements, ask a therapist. And so the last question is a really interesting one. I live in Japan, where culturally every woman openly seems to want to diet no matter their weight. So basically I'm interpreting this question as, how do I deal with it when everywhere I go, my kids are encountering diet culture and weight loss? This is hard because, I mean, our kids experience this in the U.S. too, perhaps where you live as well. I've never been to Japan or been immersed in Japanese culture, so I'm not sure like the difference in the extent of the two. But I'm just going to address this as, how do I handle it when my kids are constantly exposed to diet culture and weight loss attempts? And it's really a more proactive rather than a reactive approach here. We need to use this positive food language with our kids. We need to expose them to all different types of beautiful bodies in literature, in social media, if they use social media, in movies, and in any other media that they consume. We need to talk with them about how all bodies are beautiful, and all bodies come in different shapes and sizes, and all bodies can do different sorts of things. And it's amazing what our bodies can do, and just be consistent with having that positive body talk at home. And that's really the best way that you can equip your child with how to handle this when they experience this outside the home. So that was a doozy of a video. I know it was long. If you stuck with me through that whole thing, I hope I answered some of your questions, because there were a lot of really important ones in there. And once I get on repeat all the time in my DMs, so I know a lot of you might be struggling with multiple of these issues. So hopefully I gave you some scripts, some words to use, some insight on how I would handle it. But just know that food comments and food pressure from family members, it's really hard to navigate. Like, if you're feeling uncomfortable or like this is so challenging, that's because it is. But also know that you're not alone. Even I've struggled with this. And people know what I do for a living. I've still struggled with this. So I just want you to know that you're not alone. You're a part of this community. And hopefully this was helpful to you. Please share this with somebody who you feel like could benefit from this or might need it this holiday season or whenever you or your friends or loved ones are getting together with family members who might be making these comments or pressures to your kids. So that's the end of the family dynamics video as a part of the Growing Intuitive Eaters 101 course. I will see you in the next video. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed the content and want to hear more like it, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget to follow along on Instagram and YouTube at Growing Intuitive Eaters for more free courses and content related to healthy relationships with food, picky eating, and all things nutrition for kids. Happy feeding!